Make yourself a oneness with the loving earth. It's time for the Green Desk with Lily Peacock on 95BFM.
This week on the Green Desk with Jack Marshall, we hear from Dr. Alexander Harwood-Taylor, a senior lecturer in psychology at the University of Auckland, who's been studying how intelligent birds use play in order to learn. To start off, Alex gave us an overview of what exactly his study was looking at.
Kind of one of the kind of intriguing things about the kia in New Zealand is, you know, just how curious and playful they are. And they really stand out amongst bird species for being this really playful parrot. And what we were really curious about is whether they play just for play's sake or whether there's some kind of functionality to their play. So in children, children obviously play for play's sake, but also they can pick up information about the world through playing as well, and they can then use that information to solve problems further down the track. And we kind of set up a very similar kind of situation, both for the kia and also for the New Caledonian crow. We kind of compare these two species side by side. And so the way we did that was we gave them a range of objects. We let them just play with them. And then later on, we gave them a problem to solve where some features of those objects were now important. So when they played with the objects, some were heavy, some were not. But they didn't know that was a useful characteristic of those objects. But after they played in that way with these objects, and we then gave them a problem where they needed a heavy object, so they had to drop it. Like a heavy object down a tube in order to trigger a platform, they did really well. So they were actually able to use the information that they picked up from play to kind of make good choices about what to do next.
So did you kind of, how did you structure this? Was this just like a giant bird playground, basically?
To a degree, yes. So it was, in New Caledonia, we have aviaries where we work with the crows, and the kind of crows coming into like an individual aviary, and you know there's a problem for them to solve, or in this case initially there were some objects to play with, and we did something very similar with the kia. The kia were actually tested at the University of Vienna. So the PhD student leading this was Megan Lambert. So it's like a big international collaboration between ourselves, the University of Auckland, and then University of York, and University of St Andrews. There's a lot of and obviously the University of Vienna as well. So obviously a lot of people involved in this. And it was really the case that, you know, we gave a selection of objects to these birds, like one-on-one. We let them play with them as much as they wanted. And, you know, we saw what we usually see, which is that the kia played with the objects so much, you know, and if the crows, not really that much. They're not nearly as exploratory as the kia. But then at problem-solving times, and you know, like an hour or so later when they were then given the objects to choose between, we now, you know, in order to solve this problem, so there's a tube, they have to drop a stone down the tube to trigger a platform with some food on, and we've given them a choice of a heavy versus a light object, and these objects look differently, and what the kia would do is essentially run straight up to the object that they knew was heavy because they played with it before, and it looked a particular way, and they dropped that down the tube. So they picked up this information about heavy as a property without knowing that later on they were going to need that information to solve a problem.
And so what interests you in birds specifically? Because I've kind of become a bit of a bird person, but I'm actually more interested in watching the bird watchers than the actual birds themselves, because it seems bird watching is like, it just draws in some of the most interesting and also strange people in the world.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? So I think I've never been kind of like I was never like a bird watcher that kind of followed through and end up studying bird minds. Really, it was for me. It was always more this kind of sense of, you know, I'd watched David Attenborough's, you know, documentaries as a kid, and he talked so much about animal behavior and, you know, the narratives of animals' lives, and it was amazing. But the thing that was always missing for me was kind of like the narrative of their minds, like what it was that they were really thinking or really feeling. And it's this kind of huge, you know, scientific mystery, you know, like, you know, how do animals think? You know, are animals conscious? Do they have emotions in the same way that we do? Do they reason? And those kind of questions, I guess I saw these documentaries and I just felt that there was this whole other world, this kind of mental world to explore. And birds are amazing for kind of asking that question because, you know, they've been separated from us by about 320 million years of evolution. And what we see is that some groups of birds, the parrots and the crows, in particular, are really smart. And a lot of the work that's happened in the last 10 years by myself and other people in my field has been kind of drawing parallels between how birds think and how primates think, including humans. And we've kind of got more and more excited over the last 10 years because what we're seeing again and again is these very interesting behaviors being produced by the birds that show the same levels of complexity as that we see in apes. So they're solving the same kinds of problems. And so it was that which really drew me in. I had this like genuine interest anyway in animal minds, and then like birds started doing amazing things. And what's so nice about that gap in evolution, that split between ourselves and birds, is that it allows us to test this really big idea. And the big idea is trying to understand whether there is the convergent evolution of intelligence. And what I mean by that is that when you look at the form of a fish swimming through water and you look at the form of a dolphin, they're very similar in a lot of ways. There's obviously some small differences, but they both have these kind of streamlined bodies that are able to move through water really efficiently. And they look quite similar, not because they're related, but because they're actually, again, separated by millions and millions of years of evolution, but because the water has imposed the same selective pressures on both their bodies. There's only one way, really, to move through water efficiently, and that's with some kind of streamlined body. And what birds allow us to do is see whether intelligence evolves in the same way, whether we get that same kind of predictability that, essentially it boils down to, is there really only one way to evolve intelligence, only one real way of being smart? And, we're kind of like, I guess, at the pinnacle of that. Or are there actually lots and lots of different ways of being smart? So you don't have to have that streamlined body shape or the equivalent to be smart. You can think in very different ways. And that's really cool to me because it then brings up the question of whether we're kind of surrounded by more alien-like intelligences on our planet than we might be thinking of.
And birds kind of, I think they hold this special place in the world because kind of land animals, they're kind of within our territory, and fish and things and the ocean kind of separate from us. But birds have this, they live in the same world as us, but they live in a place where we can't go, and they can fly around. So they've got this kind of magic intrigue to them. And then I was wondering, what was the most kind of intriguing things you've seen these birds do? Because like we've heard of kias letting down tires and things and ripping apart tents. And I've even heard of kias pushing like little stones off hills and people. So I was wondering, is there anything you've seen that's particularly kind of got your attention?
Sure. And I think it's a great point about them kind of really catching our imaginations. Like for sure, like flight is something that, humans have dreamed of being able to do for, hundreds if not thousands of years, and birds have just evolved this, this, as you say, kind of almost magical ability to be able to fly around and, kind of like live amongst us, but also live in a way that we would never really be able to. So I think they really do capture people's imaginations in that way. I guess that there's a lot of things that have really caught my attention. One thing that I've been thinking about a lot recently is actually some work by my collaborator, Nina Nelson, who's a professor down at the University of Canterbury. And she did a study earlier this year kind of showing that kia have this, it looks like a laugh. So essentially there's a particular warble call that if you play it back to kia, they'll start playing amongst themselves. And if you find even one kia on its own and you play back this warble call, it'll start playing on its own. It'll start throwing rocks up into the air. It will start doing aerial acrobatics. And I think that's really intriguing because I never really thought before about the possibility of, birds laughing, birds having a sense of humor. And essentially, we still don't know quite how far it goes, but it looks quite similar to kind of the laughter that we see in primates and in mice and in humans, and that it can pass from one person to another. So at the moment, that's one of the things that's really caught my attention, is this possibility that, laughter might be something that like evolves again and again on our planet, and we have no idea why. And this is again something where we can use birds to try to understand that. We can ask the question of how similar is kia laughter to human laughter, and if it is similar, how has it evolved? Well, what is it that's different about the kia's environment and humans' environment that means that we have evolved laughter, and other species haven't? So, yeah, that's definitely something that recently caught my attention.
You've been listening to The Green Desk with Lily Peacock on 95 BFM.